Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Allen, back to throw. Allen, airing it out. Allen, picked off by Bullock. It's over. The Texans are going to do it. There's a flag down in the secondary. What is this? It's against the Bills. The Texans pull it off. They're going to knock off Buffalo tonight.
Radio Network final score 23-19 in that final drive for Buffalo. Perloff could not have been more discombobulated. It's like the Bills have never been in a big game before. I mean,
but they did do a hook and ladder. That was amazing.
Incredible. When you need to convert a 4th and 27, I'm glad they've got something in the playbook. What does it matter if you can't actually get into the end zone? Welcome to the show, by the way, Maggie Pearl, whatever. Okay, here's the situation. This is not the Bills' year. This is not their year. So stop acting like it's a big deal to beat them, because it's not. The Bills had plenty of chances here. Don't want to hear any slander about the defense. They were fine. They kept the Bills in it. The Bills' offensive line got absolutely wrecked in this game because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and everyone along that Texans defensive line had Hall of Fame nights last night. And for Buffalo, whether it was the offensive line crumbling, they're hurt, they were terrible last night. Deion Dawkins, you are a franchise left tackle. You cannot false start on a 4th and 1. Also, Josh Allen, you can't turn your back on the play every time and take sacks that, you know, are 17-yard losses and 15-yard losses. They can't have a running back and pass protection because the running backs are the best wide receivers, because the receivers are not good enough, and because Keon Coleman can't get his behind to a meeting and he has to get scratched for the second straight game. I don't even know if he would have made a difference. Pearl, I'm on a 10 right now because I'm just so disappointed that despite all the terrible things that happened for Buffalo last night, 8 sacks for Josh Allen, how devastating that Texans defensive front was, they still had a chance to win the game and couldn't get out of their own way. And I've watched this too many times where they are unorganized at the end of a game. It's infuriating.
Yeah, I don't know about that O-line thing, though. I don't think Josh Allen knew where he wanted. Yeah, he didn't know where to go with the ball. How many times did he just flail around in the pocket for about 8 seconds? What was going on?
He was
there?
Feeling the pressure at times. He didn't know where to go.
I don't know.
Fine, give the secondary some credit, too, because they were all over the Bills. The Bills don't have any good weapons, really.
They're terrified of Derek Stingley, which I get. He's awesome. But, yeah, I don't know what Josh Allen was doing. Like, he kind of cost Joe Brady a job last night.
Joe Brady cost himself a job last night. Look at the last play of the game.
The last play, the last meaningful play, it was 4th down. There was a guy wide open, and Josh Allen was on his feet, and he threw it to the guy who wasn't wide open.
Do you know why? Because Joe Brady didn't get the call in until there was like 1 millisecond left on the play clock.
And how did Josh Allen not see that guy?
Okay, but by the way, because the play got called in so late because something was going on. Last night, I told you guys that I hate Buffalo playing in Houston, and I was 100% right. Everyone got hurt in this game. There was a line for the blue medical tent on the Bills side. Even the referee got hurt last night, okay? It was just house of horrors. But the play clock on the final drive malfunctioned. Do you remember this? Final drive for Buffalo. The play clock is malfunctioning. So Dawson Knox at one point catches a pass. The play clock never resets to 40. It's at 16, and the Bills are rushing back to the line trying to get a playoff because they're looking at the play clock dwindling. The Bills have the former head of officiating on their payroll. He's in a booth in Houston. Somebody tell Sean McDermott to get the attention of the referees so you're not all sped up. Terrible. Terrible.
The last play, they had plenty of time. They had just false started.
No, but they didn't get the play call in on that 4th and 6, Pearl. This is what Josh Allen's talking about.
They had like a minute and a half.
Joe Brady cost himself a job last night.
No, I mean, first of all, Allen should have seen
him. And if you want to interview Joe Brady, go ahead. You want to have a 20-yard run from James Cook, and then you run him 3 more times right into the line. The guy's trying to get off the field because he's gassed at the end of the game, and instead, they keep handing the ball off to him.
The walls are closing in.
What's the matter with this team?
Yeah, I first of all, so you're saying they're out of the playoffs?
Here's the reality.
They're going to easily get to the playoffs.
Here's the reality. There's 6 games left, okay? If they go 3-3 by the Athletic playoff predictor, if they go 3-3, which could absolutely happen, they're on the road at the Steelers next week. They play the Patriots again, this time on the road, and they play your Philadelphia Eagles.
In Buffalo.
But fine, whatever. The Eagles might be the best team in the NFL.
But they aren't, but go ahead.
Fine. They could easily lose that game.
I mean, the Bills
game.
Will be favored. Okay.
They were favored last night, Pearl. That doesn't matter. They could easily go 3-3 down the stretch, and if they do, their playoff odds drop to 40%.
I would do okay, but do you really think this team isn't going to make the playoffs?
I know this team's not winning a Super Bowl, and that's where the bar is right now.
Okay, well, that I could do, but I mean, to treat this like calamity, you said all week they were going to
lose this game, and everyone told me, Maggie, no, they just beat the Bucks and they hung 40 on them, and everything's fixed. It's not.
Davis Mills started out 1-for-8.
And what's that?
Davis Mills started out 1-for-8.
He was awful last night.
The camera couldn't even figure out where he was throwing. They like missed like 4 plays. He stinks. I mean, that was an incredible loss because they should have blown them out in the first half. I don't know why the offense.
They were trailing at halftime.
Something happened to Allen where he just got uncomfortable. Well, I mean, it must have been the pass rush.
But he might have broken his wrist at one point of the game and then popped back up like nothing was wrong.
What is going on with his hand?
I don't know. And he was shaking his hand out at the end of the game, too.
I just think he was a mess last night. And I'm sorry, I know it was on. There were 8 sacks. I don't think 8 of them were on the O-line. I think there were several of them where Josh got happy feet. And I don't understand why Josh couldn't run forward. To the Texans' credit, they kept all the running lanes closed. Normally, what does he run, 10 times a game? I didn't see that at all there.
That was on the credit
to the Texans. I don't know why more people don't do that. Allen had what? He had 5 runs for 20 yards. That is well below. See, normally in that situation, Josh Allen escapes out the front of the pocket, but somehow they kept everything shut down so he couldn't use his superpower, which is running.
So Josh was significantly banged up in this game. Now, listen, he was still completing passes. Well, let's hear cut 14, please, where Josh Allen said he does feel fine, but admits that his shoulder went numb for a bit.
Ah.
Just left shoulder, landed on it, and went a little numb on me. We're good.
Is that the play where he was bicycle kicking on the ground?
I mean, he's first team all tough guy. But it's just, and I'm glad that the way he was writhing around in pain on the ground, I thought the season was over. I like 100%, I thought the wrist was broken or whatever. And then he pops back up and he didn't even go in the blue medical tent. It was crazy.
But then the offense after that moment changed, it seemed like. He really fell apart for the rest of the rest of the game. I don't know if that was the exact play, but they stopped running a functional offense at a certain point in the game because they started out just fine.
Well, you guys are total idiots.
Fair.
Because remember, they got 7 points on a kick return, so really their offense did nothing.
No, after 12 points. Yeah. That's what they put up against the Houston Texans. That first drive was incredible. Yeah, you have 10 plays, and James Cook rips off a 40-plus-yard touchdown run. But, a couple things killed him. the Texans go on their best run, their best offensive series of the game in the second quarter, a 12-play, 77-yard touchdown drive. And then on the very next play, Josh Allen throws an interception. Not his fault, gets tipped up in the air by Al-Shaair, but you just give it right back to the defense. And to their credit, they held Houston to a field goal at that point, but now Houston's got the lead. And then you get the kickoff return for a touchdown. You're like, amazing. I said, watching your team do a kick return for touchdowns, like finding $20 in your coat pocket. It's like, hey, how amazing. And then they counter with another touchdown. 6-play drive, end of the half. Okay, trade some punts. And then the fumble from Shaair. I mean, at that point, you're driving. You're down 20-16, and he gets the ball, and it gets knocked out. That leads to a field goal because you set the Houston Texans up in short yardage because they couldn't do anything. Their offense, they had to gift them, basically, that good field position. And then the 9-play drive where they get down to first and 10 at the 15 and end up turning the ball over on downs because they can't get 2 yards. And that's when Joe Brady's running James Cook into the line 4 different times in a row. I just can't, Pearl. I can't with the, it's like Sean McVay, they're so inconsistent. And I hate to do this just from the Bills' point of view. We'll talk about this from the Texans. They now go to 5-6. They are alive now in the playoff hunt. So credit to them. But
by the way, if Gabe Davis gets a foot half inch over, they win the game.
Oh,
anyway.
My gosh, I know.
So it's like he's still going to win.
Can I take you all the way back? How about the opening drive where they score a touchdown and miss the extra point?
Yeah, I know.
Because then they're chasing it the whole time. They could have just tied the game with a field goal at the end and played for overtime. And then who knows what happens?
Yeah, not good.
Thank you. I realized that. And you guys want to bring up all the times the Bills failed? Yeah, I'm going to think about alcohol. I was thinking about it last night, but it was way too late. I'll think about it tonight. Because these are the kind of losses that kind of haunt you and stay with you a little bit, Pearl. Even though I told you guys, Houston is a house of horrors for Buffalo. I hate playing there. And now you got multiple guys who are banged up, including Terrell Bernard, Spencer Brown, and Max Harrison. And maybe that doesn't mean a lot to the layperson out there, but it's your middle linebacker, your right tackle, and your one of your best corners.
Well, who's really not...
He's a rookie.
And he's been in and out.
Yeah, and he missed the first 6 games of the season.
I mean, those guys aren't that great anyway.
Someone talk me off the ledge because I am just dying here. And, you know, it's crazy... Because the Patriots look so good. Granted, they haven't played anybody. They beat Buffalo, but they, you know, it's just to, you know, I always get on the Bengals because I'm like, how do you waste seasons when you got Joe Burrow? Da, da, da. I mean, if we're looking at a season where the Bills don't make the playoffs or the Bills go in first round and lose to either the Texans on a rematch or they lose to Denver or they lose to who knows, I'm going to be out of my mind. It just seems like it's so inconsistent. I don't know.
But Maggie, at the same time, you look at the teams in the AFC, what defenses and players are you going to be seeing that's going to look like the Texans?
Maybe Denver. I mean, Denver's really good.
I don't know. Jackson Dart had looked like he was giving them problems. I mean, the Eagles for 3 quarters gave them problems. I mean, the Denver defense is good. I'm not going to disrespect them. They had a great game against the Chiefs, and that's maybe one team. But you might not even have to face them. Someone else may knock them out in theory. I just feel like that game, as bad as it was, like they got physically assaulted by the Houston Texans. Like it was just a straight-up bullying, I felt.
And they still were in position to win the game and couldn't do it.
Right, they still were in position to win the game. And I just think that there are very few teams, I think, in the AFC that play defense like that. The AFC is kind of a weird conference. The Ravens don't play defense the way they used to. I think the Chiefs' defense has kind of fallen off a little bit this year. I don't see like these elite defenses really. I see more offensive teams. So I think you're going to probably be in more shootouts than these, like, you know, 20-19 kind of games.
Well, the offense looked terrible last night. But that, again, because of the defense.
Texans, yeah.
But so the Texans defense, number one, the Colts defense is very good. I think the Ravens defense is coming on. I mean, obviously, they look like all world against Shaair, but we'll see what that's about. I think the Patriots defense is good. So I don't know.
But here's one thing. Josh Allen, I think, was coming off a huge game against Tampa Bay. I think that Josh Allen was a little cocky coming in that game in the sense the play where he got hit and he went down on the ground, everyone thought he was hurt. No pocket pressure. He's just like, I'm Josh Allen. I can do whatever he want. They can game plan differently. They didn't game plan well for this.
No, they didn't.
Like, Josh Allen's got to get the ball out of his hands immediately. And I think he's like in a bit of a Superman mode after last week. What was he? 3 touchdowns running, 3 touchdowns passing. No one's ever gone from 6 touchdowns to 0 touchdowns week to week in like 60 years.
Welcome to the Bills experience in 2025.
But I think Josh Allen's got to wake up and understand that it's not going to be as easy as it was last week. Like the play where he got hit, he had no idea that there was a guy behind him. He's like, I'm Josh Allen. No one can touch me. And then he woke up and it was way too late.
Okay, well, is it Josh playing hero ball because he wants to, or is it playing this because he feels like he has to? Because
How many sacks did he pivot away?
Oh,
he looked like
so
Shedeur
many.
Sanders.
No, I understand. But think about it. They had to bring back Gabe Davis, okay? Because Josh doesn't trust anybody. And Dalton Kincaid is out.
Yeah,
and
Khalil issue.
Shakir, they do trust, but he's had fumbles now the last couple games.
Yeah, it felt like they had no idea that they had this pass rush coming at them. Like their play calling was not adjusted. Let's face it. Maybe that O-line can't hold up against Houston. They need a totally different approach. They should have played that game completely differently.
I agree.
Yeah. And by the way, they still should have won the game. I don't know. I mean, the Texans offense is not very good.
Not very good.
Can you
terrible.
Imagine? I don't know what was the over-under on that game? Because that must have killed somebody. It was 20-16.5. You get 36 points in the first half, and you get 6 points in the second half.
And I credit the Bills defense, who's been, you know, to say maligned would be kind. They actually kept him in the game in the second half.
Right. Oh, what a brutal.
EJ, I don't know. What was the over-under?
44.5.
Oh, my God. So you get 36 points in the first half and then nothing. It was that stinks. Sorry for bettors out there who had the over. I don't know why you would take the over in that game. Maggie had me convinced that it was going to be 6-3. And it kind of felt that way.
Yeah, it was not. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. As the resident Bills fan here who's been tortured her entire life, I know it when I see it. This is not the team. And maybe that's obvious to everyone else as well.
Did you think last year was?
I thought last year was there were issues with the defense, but I thought last year they had a chance. They had the division wrapped up by Thanksgiving.
So, yes. Okay. So have a chance, and that's not even, you're not even giving them that qualification this year.
This is not the year. This isn't it. And they're going to keep riding with like the Jordan Poyers and.
Oh, he looked good last year, actually.
I mean, they're going to keep riding with these older guys like Tre'Davious White and whatever. Now I'm getting into the Bills nitty gritty of the depth chart, but they're going to ride with these guys, partially because they have to because they're so injured. And the big question is, are they going to make a change after the season? And ironically, Sean McDermott's probably doing one of his best jobs with the defense this year, even though they are a sieve with the run defense. At least they were stout last night against a terrible offense. You know, held them to about 100 yards rushing, held them under 300 yards total. Sean McDermott did a fine job, again, with Davis Mills, you know, on the other side. But changes have to come. Straight up impotent. You
All right,
cannot
fair to say,
keep doing this.
They're way better at home, obviously. They stink on the road this year, it seems.
Yeah, but they lost to the Patriots at home. I mean, you'll lose games at home,
That was another one where they were cocky. They were like, these Patriots stick, we're going to beat them. I felt like they weren't prepared for that.
What world should the Bills be cocky? I mean, they have orchestrated, suffered, lived through some of the most brutal losses in the history of sport.
Yeah, but no.
Not the sport, sports. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, but everyone thought Josh Allen was Superman and be able to do it last night. I don't think anybody thought the Bills were actually lose that game until
Well, rethink Superman, because they couldn't finish the game out against New England. They couldn't finish the game out against Atlanta. They couldn't finish the game out last night against Houston. So rethink Superman, okay? And I'm still a fan, obviously, and he gives you the best chance to win, but oof. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And the offensive line was overwhelmed, but he made it worse. All right, Houston side of things, I don't know. Get C.J. Stroud back. If he can actually play better, Pearl.
I don't know if
maybe
that
you
is
have the, something here.
I am not 1,000% convinced that's the right move.
What, to bring him back?
Yeah, I mean,
oh, you have
I don't
to.
Know. He's looked pretty bad this year.
He has, but there's still time. You still have 6 games left in the season. There's time for him to turn it around. Meanwhile, are you with me? This is not the year for Buffalo, and let's talk about is the window closed. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
All right, Maggie, maybe you can get in a better mood tonight by playing Prize Picks.
Doubt it. Well, Prize Picks will help.
Yeah, I mean, you got a lot of options. You got hockey, you got basketball, you got college football. And on Prize Picks, you keep the season rolling by getting $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. The app is so simple to use. Just pick two or more players across any sport. I mean, any sport. There's so many different options. Pick more or less on their projections. And if you're right, you could win big.
Okay, I got one for you. How about Benedict Mathurin? All right, so Indiana is clearly tanking the season. But Mathurin could be a big chip pearl at the trade deadline coming up later this season. So they probably want to get him a lot of points. So I'm going to go 22.5 points, Benedict Mathurin. Let's go more than. And hey, how about old pal Chris Letang? 1.5 shots on goal. Let's go more than for the Pittsburgh defenseman. This is why we love Prize Picks, because even if your team suffers a brutal loss on Thursday Night Football, you get back on the wagon on Friday and you go about your day. Play along with us. So easy, so fun. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the code MNP. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. Get $50 bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play $5. So win or lose, you'll get $50 bonus credit in lineups just for playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Up is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Great chance to pour salt in Maggie's wounds if you want to call in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's nothing, there, trust me, there's no way to make her feel better. I have a list, by the way, that will crack you up. Yeah. Warren Sharp, our buddy, the analytics guy, tweeted, the Bills now have a losing record in road games since week one, 2023. They're 11-12. Do you want to hear some of the QBs they've lost to on the road? I know you know this
I'm sure it's going to be gross.
Easton Stick.
Oh, I hated that game.
Sam Howell.
That was Justin the Chargers Fields, game, right? Easton
Tua,
Stick. Yeah.
Geno Smith, Joe Flacco, then Goff and Mahomes. That's okay. And now Davis Mills. I wonder, I mean, you could have a legit debate who's the worst quarterback on that list.
I mean, but, probably Stick, maybe Mills.
Yeah, Mills was, well, actually, he played a little better after the beginning. But that.
Tua's like Dan Marino compared to some of the guys on that list.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think you have to be a little better on the road to win a Super Bowl.
Think? Yeah. Thanks for that.
Well, I mean, Buffalo, I didn't even really think that they had such a great home field advantage, but that really obviously is the key to this operation.
Listen, that, and it's another first place schedule. They always get, obviously, tons of primetime games, which I'm not making excuses now, but...
Wow, their schedule is like the fourth or fifth easiest in the league.
Well, but again, they're the ones playing Houston on the road, which is a horrible place for them to play. They're going to have to play your Eagles this year. Like, there are peppered in. They have to play the Chiefs every year. There are peppered in some really tough games. They play the Ravens every year, it feels like, in the regular season. So they do get some really tough things. But the other part of this, too, is the sacks that Josh Allen took last night, the O-line letting up all that pressure to a great defensive front from the Texans. But also, again, the story is the turnovers. They had two interceptions and a terrible fumble. And the one interception gets tipped. All right, what are you going to do? But it would just come off of a drive where your defense was out on the field for like 6 minutes. And then Josh gets a pass tip. So then the defense goes right back out on the field. Oh, they're God. Tired.
They got lucky on that one because
they held him to a field goal.
Well, it should have been a touchdown, but that idiot blocked somebody in the back, right in front of the official.
And by the way, the official, like even the official got hurt last night, yeah. Pulls up lame, have to go to the backup official. And listen, all due respect to that guy, sir, you didn't do a good job last night. I mean, what was going on? The play clock, everything was off last night. I was incensed.
The actual second interception didn't really count. It was fourth down. He should have just dropped the ball. So that was not impactful. It was fourth and six, right? And he threw the ball. The guy.
It was the end of the game. Yeah, it was the most impactful moment.
But that's not really a turn. I mean, if he had just dropped the ball, they actually would have gotten the ball 20 yards up. But it didn't matter. So it wasn't really the
turn. Didn't matter. It was the game. It was the ball game.
Right, but you said turnovers cost it. Like, if that had been incomplete, it would have been the same result. Game was over.
Thank you, smartest guy in the room. I mean, making me feel better, dude.
Well, obviously.
No, but they lost.
Fourth down interceptions, I have a theory, shouldn't even really count as interceptions.
Well, when you need a touchdown to win the game, at that point, they do count. But I guess I should have put
this way. Usually a bad idea by the defense. I've seen so many times where the defense screws them over by like, oh, I'm going to catch this ball on this fourth down heave. And then you lose like 30 yards of, it didn't matter in that game.
No, I should say they lost the turnover battle again. How does that sound? This is what happened against Miami. Miami, they got blown out. But this is what happens. They lose the turnover battle and... It's just curtains. Anyway, this is not the year for Buffalo. That's the takeaway. They're not a Super Bowl contender, and we'll see if they actually take this seriously in the offseason and what they do.
That is a thing that I think Brandon Bean, we gotta bring him into the light because he's also kind of arrogant. He talks about, oh, you guys think I need another wide receiver? Or, oh, you guys think this is Madden? But like, I watched a team that, quite frankly, just didn't look that talented outside of Josh Allen.
They're really hurt.
Yeah.
But, yeah, also
right.
That.
I mean, just looking at, like, I mean, I watched the Texans. I know their offense maybe doesn't have that many stars. But I'm looking at their defense. I'm like, there are stars everywhere. Yeah. Derek Stingley, Hunter, Will Anderson's a monster. Al Shaair, he almost made the pick that ended up, almost being a pick six before they called the flag back. They got players all over the place. And I'm looking at the Bills, and I'm like, I just don't see. I see Josh Allen. I see a franchise
James
left
Cook.
Tackle. And I see James Cook on the defense. Where are the stars? Where are the guys that are the big difference makers, the game changers, the game breakers? I don't really see that on that side.
But you want to know
the Super Bowl team? It's a little weird.
You want to know the funny part? They paid a lot of those guys. They paid Ed Oliver, who's injured right now. They paid Rousseau, Epinesa. These are their draft picks that they kept and are keeping.
And sometimes that's a bad thing when you have a GM who's been there for a long time because you start to fall in love with your own guys. And those guys have been respectable, solid players. None of them have become superstars, but they've been decent draft picks. But not moving on from some of those guys or not making bold moves to maybe go after a Micah Parsons or someone like that, I think is holding the Bills back.
No, EJ, they did. It was just wrong. Von Miller, who they gave $50 million to, was a total he got hurt the first year and couldn't finish the season and then was a waste after that / an embarrassment. And then Joey Bosa now, who actually hasn't been bad, but now he's hurt and he's basically playing with one arm.
But Joey Bosa even... Like,
I know,
end of
I get
his career,
it.
Like Von Miller, this is past Denver. Like, where is their Micah Parsons? Where is their even... I know they wanted Quinnen Williams and,
but
he blamed the Jets for not trading within their division, said that the Jets GM was dumb. I don't understand that. Brandon Bean, I think, does, when we look at this situation, the Bills indeed fall short. We keep talking about Sean McDermott. I think we got to start looking at the general manager and saying, what are you doing to get them over the top?
They're a package deal.
Yeah, no question.
They basically came in together 1 year apart, but they were together in Carolina, came in together, and I think they should exit together. Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest. What's up?
Good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks, the hard-hitting football action. Even better with Prize Picks. Download Prize Picks. Use code PRIMETIME and get $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. That Houston Texans defense did treadmills no favors last night. So many angry Bills fans stomping their way through a primetime loss.
Allen back to throw. Allen airing it out. Allen picked off by Bullock. It's over. The Texans are going to do it.
Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. That was the pick by Kalen Bullock that didn't really matter except for ending the game. His second pick, his third takeaway, salting away this 23-19 Houston win. D'Amico Ryan's defense looking every bit the top-ranked unit it is.
Credit goes to, first and foremost, our defensive line. Like, for the way they go out, the way those guys relentlessly rush the passer, and everybody on the back end is playing sound and playing together. When we do that, we're tough to move the ball against. So our players are doing an outstanding job.
And just enough offense from Davis Mills, 153 yards, two scores, to get their third straight win. The Bills, meanwhile, now two games behind the Patriots in the loss column. Josh Allen threw those two picks, again was sacked a career worst 8 times plus 4 other hits.
Yeah, it's not fun. I ran into a couple myself. I got to be better with throwing the ball away and living to see another down and letting us play some situational football and pinning them deep. And too many times I was going backwards, and I got to be better on that.
Yeah, one of those times he went backwards, then forwards, then backwards, then left, then right, then backwards, then forwards, and backwards cost the Bills 18 yards. On one sack by itself.
I thought it was Shedeur Sanders out there.
Mac Rhodes has officially stepped down as Baylor AD. The school's saying it was his decision, but there remains some kind of investigation into something that Rhodes did or did not do. 8 days ago, he took a personal leave from the school and gave up his role as the chair of the CFP selection committee. He's the third straight Baylor AD to leave under weird circumstances, to use a very broad term, the two previous guys with issues with serious issues with head coaches, yeah. And then whatever this is that all of a sudden has made him walk away.
Was Ken Starr, he wasn't the AD, he was like the provost or something right?
Like,
the
yes.
guy from the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky scandal yes. all those years ago. And then was it Baylor?
Yeah.
I love that you put it was something he either did or did not do. I mean, I'm going to go with did. I don't
but
know.
But we still don't know.
He did not. If he did nothing, I think he still has the job. By the way, can they just bring him back to talk to Reese Davis on Tuesdays and get the other guy out of there? Like, Mac
was
Rhodes.
Was he better than Hunter Yurecek?
He could communicate. I know he's now resigned or fired in scandal or whatever, but maybe he can still come back just to do these quick hits with Reese on Tuesdays.
Could they hire someone to teach these men how to form a complete sentence about college football?
That's what I'm saying. Have one of the former coaches who's in the room do it. They're used to talking in front of a crowd.
Let's jump to the NBA. The problems continue for
Douglas Dale Christie. I'm head coach of the Sacramento Kings.
Those Kings took a 137-96 beating in Memphis last night. Sacramento has dropped 8 straight, all by double digits. This was the fourth by at least 27 points in this stretch.
Maybe they shouldn't have fired Mike Brown.
I mean, there's like 15 coaches. Maybe they shouldn't have fired Mike Malone.
Oh, that was 10 years ago. But yeah, definitely.
Rick Adelman.
Well,
I don't think there are any good coaches before
he was
Rick
like
Adelman.
70. I couldn't think of anyone else. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
Men's number 2, Houston, put a 91-46 hurting on Ryder. Andre Ware had 18 points and 5 assists. And wait till you hear what happened before a game in Russia's Pro Hockey League yesterday.
Все-таки провела это символическое вбрасывание.
Да, я смотрю, что ребята напряглись на вбрасывании, потому что собака настроена достаточно агрессивно.
Сейчас перчатка Стася в музей отправится, судя по всему.
Can you believe that?
That is crazy.
Yeah, back to you guys.
If that happens to me one more time, I mean, shocking.
So they brought out a canine dog and its handler for the ceremonial puck drop. And for obvious reasons, lights, crowd, noise, the dog didn't handle it well and took a bite out of each player who was there for the opening faceoff. The second guy put his hand out to pet the dog. The dog bit his hand and would not release.
Oh, my God.
So the hockey player's got his glove in this dog's mouth. The handler is doing whatever to try to get the dog off. There's like a 10-second, like, in the clutches of the dog, this poor hockey player.
Wait, why was the call then, like, so calm?
Well, there's an... Oh, it's Russian.
It's Russia, yeah. They're hardcore.
Business as usual.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's like, wow, the dog's got the hand, and it's bloody. Like, we need Gus Johnson on this.
They're wearing gloves, though, right?
Yeah, the glove is there. I don't know if a tooth got through the underside of the glove. It's just a little bit of thing of leather, but I didn't see blood. There is an oi-oi in there that I think is when the bite happens, but yeah. you know, they're subdued.
A bit different than I'd be like, if that's Kevin Harlan or one of our most excitable announcers on it, that
Gus
thing
Johnson.
Is viral.
But Gus Johnson, would he be faking it or would he be being legit?
Yeah, would he be a disgrace? Who called him a disgrace?
Yeah, Valenti.
Mike Valenti.
Mike Valenti, right. Yeah. Do we get Tony Romo on it? Here we go, Jim. Here comes the
what
dog.
A dog.
What a dog.
What a
dog. Deserves a day.
What a bite.
Can't believe it. Folks, thank you. Coming up, lots to do, including you can weigh in. Are you with me or not that this is not the year for Buffalo? Meanwhile, we've got more drama with Perloff's team in Philadelphia. And how about real-life family drama playing out with the LA Lakers? That was crazy yesterday. We get into the TikTok of all that's going on with the Buss family in just moments. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Pearl, we got so much football to do, but I was wondering if you were feeling a little bit like a relief because everyone's been focused on your Eagles and all the dysfunction in the locker room and whether or not Jalen Hurts like is changing plays and stuff. And then here come the Lakers, who nice, bright, shiny Lakers. And obviously they got sold, you know, recently. So the owner of the Dodgers now is going to own the Lakers. But They've dismissed now two of the Buss brothers are no longer going to be part of the franchise.
But I mean, do you watch a show on Netflix?
I did watch that show on Netflix when I had the pukes.
That is all documentary fact. They must be crazy, like the guys on the show. What's the show called? Showtime? What's Kate Hudson plays Jeannie Buss, and her brothers are these wild characters. The Buss family must be awesome. I would like to spend Thanksgiving with
them. Well, I think we actually got the coolest member of the Buss family, I think, has sadly passed away. I think Dr. Jerry Buss was the coolest member.
I think Jeannie's cool.
You're asking who would you want to hang out with? I mean,
if I'm watching that Lakers show, Winning Time, Dr. Buss definitely was.
Dr. Buss
guy.
Is the OG.
Yeah, no.
I want to be at the Forum
he's
Club.
Oh, yeah. He's the OG. There's no doubt about it. But I think Jeannie seems great, by the way. I've heard very nice things about her.
Maybe, but I mean,
you couldn't have heard it from the Buss brothers because they were mad yesterday.
Joey and Jesse were not doing that.
There really was a coup, right? They did that in the show, but it was based on a real fact that they tried to kick Jeannie out like three times. I figure you would back her.
I do. I just think Laker fans, before the Luka trade fell out of the sky, I think that maybe people had some real concerns about the revolving door of coaches.
And the
roster. You know, you're trying to maximize the end of LeBron's, you know, career here. But
that's got to be on the GM, right?
Yeah, and they hired she hired Magic, and then he publicly quit on her, even though they're best friends. And then, you know, Kobe's agent. And honestly, like, grade Rob Pelinka pre-Luka trade. Like, he didn't have anything to do with that. That was Nico Harrison, you know, making the biggest mistake of his life.
Right. I mean, this is typical, though, when a company buys another company.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time before they kick out the previous principals. So do you expect anything to change because of any of this? It feels like the Lakers are going to get a little more corporate, less family business.
Yeah, maybe that's better. I mean, look what the Dodgers have done. Like, you can't argue that things have gotten a lot better. They spend like it's going out of style. Now, this is different because you have an actual salary cap in basketball, and it can get very punitive with that whole second apron and stuff. But unfortunately, one of the Buss brothers is actually dealing with some health issues. So, you know, you don't want to make too much of like fun of it. And I'm not making fun. It's just such a intriguing like family drama, you know.
It's
a little like WWE had a little bit of this, although they've kind of stabilized. You know, obviously the Murdochs and Fox, and they kind of stabilized, and eventually, you know, they kept it somewhat in the family. This stuff is sort just interesting
like,
to me.
Like the show, the HBO show
Succession.
Succession. Yeah. Now, so these guys that were let go were not, they were like a different marriage or something, right?
What's that?
They're a different marriage.
Oh, I don't know.
Right, the guy, the brothers who had the coup are already gone, I think. But so she stays on with the team, though. I don't know.
She's going to stay on with the team, but for how long?
Well, I think that them kicking out the Joey and Jesse Buss is not so surprising. Like, exactly. When ownership changes hands, it's just a matter of time. I actually thought when you said the Lakers, you're talking about the fact that, you know, the big deal, Bronny's going back down to the G League. What's up with that?
Yeah, I did see that headline, and then I scrolled right past it. I kept going.
Come on.
I don't have the energy for Bronny anymore. We did that for like
six months. You can't go back to Bronny?
Nah, I'm okay. The Lakers are off to an 11-4 start this year, so I think they dodge some of the Bronny silliness.
You know who else can't deal with Bronny anymore? Clearly J.J. Redick, because he was mad when he was playing the other night. He was yelling, Bronny, shoot the ball. Which I don't know why. He's shooting 20% from the field.
I was going to say, are you sure? Bronny, pass the ball to Austin Reeves.
Bronny, go get some water.
Bronny, I don't think he's playing with Luka when Luka's on the floor.
Bronny, go get Luka some Gatorade. That would be what I'll yell at him.
That's kind of where he should be at, 888-710-4ISN. But meanwhile, back to your Eagles, Pearl. And, you know, I thought Dan Orlovsky was pretty good on this yesterday. I thought he made a pretty salient point. And about Jalen Hurts has become this really polarizing quarterback. You have all these guys coming out of the woodwork now to say that, you know, or not all these guys. There's been a report out of Philadelphia where, you know, he was not playing what they practice. He's changing the plays. Whether there's some nuance there, black and white, let's call it what it is. Jalen Hurts right now is getting like scapegoated. You know, he is the one who is now taking on the significant part of the blame. And maybe that just happens when you're the quarterback, and especially in a place like Philadelphia where the knives are always out, despite whether you've won a Super Bowl last year or not. But I thought Orlovsky, you know, I'll give him credit. I thought he did have a good point. All Jalen Hurts does is keep his head down and win. At least publicly, he does all the things you'd want of a quarterback. He doesn't seem like a knucklehead. And yet he's enemy number one right now in Philly, it seems.
I'm not sure that's true. That he's enemy number one. I think that, A.J. Brown and the rest of the team seems to have an issue. But don't you think this is, again, I said it yesterday, don't you think the coaching staff wants Jalen Hurts to play like this? I mean, he never throws the ball downfield. Like, this can't be all Jalen Hurts. It has to be by design. I mean, let's look at the Eagles coaching staff. I'll lay out the players. Nick Sirianni's the head coach. Kevin Petullo is the offensive coordinator, and Vic Fangio is the defense. Who is the strongest of those three?
Fangio.
So don't you design your offense so they just don't screw up the defense? That's like, I think this is exactly who they want to be. And they call plays like they want to win conservatively. So I don't even know why anyone would blame Jalen Hurts.
Well, then why do you have $200 million basically invested into two wide receivers if you don't want to throw the ball?
Because
Howie Roseman is actually the most important out of all these guys. Yeah. You didn't name him. He's the general manager.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think in case you need it in the playoffs, if Jalen Hurts is going to stink all season, then he's going to get indoors against some team in the playoffs and just go bananas like he does against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I just think that's a break in case of emergency situation. I think this conservative plan, they're looking at their roster and saying, you know what, we're better on defense right now. For whatever reason, because their line's all banged up, they can't run the ball. I think that they want to slow this game down. For the Cowboys, it's going to cause a lot of problems for them. I don't think they want to get in a shootout because Jalen Hurts is not that kind of quarterback. Is that kind of what Orlovsky was saying? He just wins. I think this is all by design, and it's a bigger picture than just him.
Okay, but if it's by design, then why isn't everyone on the same page about what the philosophy is? Because you can't go 5 minutes without A.J. Brown getting upset about it.
And
you
can't, that's and a receiver way, thing,
okay,
right?
But then they feed him. So then they give him 12 targets in the first half that basically they make him look like he's right. Like he was right to complain. They're rewarding the behavior of him, you know, speaking out publicly, and then they force feed him. So if it was really the plan, why are they deviating from the plan then to try to spoon feed A.J. Brown, I guess, just to keep him quiet when you know that that's not going to work?
I mean, the funny thing is they win this game you're talking about. They beat Detroit 16-9. It wasn't even really that close. Jalen Hurts threw for 135 yards.
Yeah.
And they beat arguably one of the top five teams in the NFL rather easily.
And
so what does that tell you?
Well, and this is why I think it's insane, because it's like in Philadelphia, all of a sudden, is there, by the way, how many former Eagles are in the media? Holy moly.
Yeah, maybe it's a function of that.
I'm watching Jason Kelsey crying yesterday, or getting choked up yesterday, talking on WIP about how he didn't talk to Lane Johnson for a year and they got over it. And then Seth Joyner obviously is there. And I saw DeSean Jackson said something yesterday, and Donovan McNabb is going to weigh in. And then you got to get Ron Jaworski's got to say something. I'm missing like 10 people.
Yeah, no, the Philadelphia Eagles are like Degrassi. Like, you know, that show Degrassi, the Canadian TV show, where like just all the generations of people, they're just always on the show. You could have been from the 80s show, the 2000s show, whatever, 2020 reboot they're still doing. They're just all part of it. Like they never actually leave school. They never left the high school. They're just always there somehow.
Well, that's because Philadelphia is secretly a one sport town. Like there's nothing. Tyrese Maxey's probably going to win the MVP and no one's even going to notice because they're going to be paying attention to the Eagles. So I think that's what sells.
Yeah, but there's plenty of one sport towns, and I don't see nearly the amount of people in the media. Like Kansas City is a one sport town, but I don't see every time Patrick Mahomes is a hangnail, I don't see 50 former Chiefs out there to explain and talk about how dysfunctional it is.
Yeah, the Chiefs, it's funny. Now that you mentioned, I was actually thinking that. Like, they don't really make, at least on my timeline, a much of a national splash from the media side.
I mean, Green Bay is a one-team town. I don't see all the former Packers being like, Jordan Love sucks. I mean, they all kind of close ranks.
Well, I mean, this is a Northeast thing. It's where, like, the power, you know, the big media. I mean, like, for example, 98% of all NBA media comes from Boston, which is the weirdest thing of all time. And Philly, New York. I mean, at least that's what we see. I mean, I don't think there's any... The way that those sports pages have covered those teams for years have created this tradition where, you know, like, we know what's going on. It's a big open debate, and they bring in millions of people, and you make a lot of money with D.C., Boston, New York. This is how the Northeast does its sports.
Wait, Pearl, if you don't want to hear Christian Okoye's takes on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense?
Yeah.
Man, I've been waiting.
Have you guys, our late friend Dom Banks from Sports Illustrated, he used to talk to me. He's like, oh, my God, thank God the Patriots are winning. It is a media boom here in New England. Basically, anybody who ever covered the team or played on the team got a media job immediately. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that there's these other one sport cities, so to speak, where one team is so far and away most important than any of the other teams. And I just don't see every former player coming out of the woodwork. And by the way, I could see that now because the world is so connected on social media that if something happens with the Vikings, I'm going to know about it. But I don't see, you know, Randy Moss coming in to talk about J.J. McCarthy's struggles. And Randy's in the media. Like, I don't see Chris Carter in the media, but I don't see them all coming to pile on. It feels like with the Eagles, everyone has to let their voice be heard. Like, no one sits one out.
Chris Carter is in the mix right
now. Oh, is he in the mix right now?
Yeah,
you're talking about JJ?
JJ McCarthy.
Oh, I'm
JJ
sorry.
McCarthy's coach came out and did some mean things, right?
It was like an assistant coach went to war with Chris Carter or something. Something bad's going on with Chris Carter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke then. I did not see that. So
No, I mean, listen, you're right. It does seem more intense with Philly, but there probably is a tradition. We might not see it all the time. I mean, any football team, it's funny, they don't always have the best players who come back and comment on the team. They have, like, the journeyman or, like, the guy who played there for 8 years and never made an All-Pro team. Those are the guys we hear from the most, too.
Well, not for Philly. Donovan McNabb, Jason Kelsey, these are, like, two of the best guys in your history of the franchise.
Oh, yeah, but there's, like, 100 other guys who are on the radio there. Maybe I'm
Brandon Graham has a show.
Not
Jordan
anymore.
Mailata has a show.
Now he's playing. So I guess you're tired of
show. Mailata's got a show, doesn't he?
That's true, too.
These guys
Hugh Douglas.
Well, yeah, Hugh, for sure. He's on every day.
Exactly.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. If the Eagles do not repeat as Super Bowl champions, is the A.J. Brown-Jalen Hurts relationship going to be the main reason why?
I know Lane Johnson's injury status is the number one, number two, and number three big thing. I like the Cowboys this weekend. Doesn't everybody? I don't even know. Like, how can you not like the Cowboys this weekend against a banged-up Eagles O-line?
Because the Eagles' defense is really good. Really good.
I know, but Dak has always owned Fangio-style defenses. He never beats Fangio, but he has incredible numbers against him.
He doesn't beat him. Why is he going to this weekend?
Well, he hasn't played him. He played him once in week one. That's the only time he saw him as the Eagles defensive coordinator. And he looked really good before the rain delay. I feel like it's going to be hard for the Eagles to beat Dak Prescott twice.
We have some news also out of Dallas. We finally got the reason why CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were both benched, plus for the first drive. Also, we have CeeDee Lamb setting the record straight on a rumor that was rampant online. So we'll get to that in just a moment. Also, looky, looky, who was doing two full days of practice and looks like they're on track to play? We'll tell you which quarterback is trending in the right direction next. It's Maggie Perloff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.